We would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the stolen lands of the Wurundjeri people and the Bunurong people of the Kulin Nation. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging and acknowledge the continued resilience of First Nation peoples in the face of ongoing colonisation and settlement. We acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded and a treaty was never signed. My name is MV and I'm presenting a International Human Rights Day special. So this morning I'll be speaking with 3CR Tuesday Breakfast broadcaster and Accent of Women producer Ayan Shirwa about the rights of women of colour in the context of Human Rights Day, the 16 days of activism, the Me Too social media movement, and her upbringing as an African Muslim woman in so-called Australia. Ayan, thank you so much for joining me in the studio this morning. I really appreciate you having this discussion with me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, MV. You know, it's always a blast to have a chat with you.
Yes,
well, and I don't think we've ever done anything like this before.
Not like this before, so this is pretty special.
It is. I'm excited for it.
I suppose we'll go right into it. So first off, please describe her story.
Mm-hmm.
And who are you?
So, as you mentioned at the top of the show, my name's Ian. I produce and present two shows. I'm also Somali. I don't want to say Somali Australian because I just don't like that. So, I'm Somali. I'm someone who's interested in community building. So, whether that's going to events of different communities or whether it's supporting causes of different communities. So I'm really big on making those sort of connections, nurturing those connections. So that's a big thing for me. And I was doing that before I joined 3CR. So when I did join, I all of a sudden had the networks and the contacts, which made, you know, creating community even better.
And you had the platform as well.
Yes, oh my God, this platform is so incredible because I've said this before on other places, but I really see myself as a conduit for community. So it is about me, but I share that platform and I always make it a point of sharing it with Black women.
It's fantastic. I mean, the work you do is fantastic with the programs you produce and the programs that you help out with. But we'll get into that a bit later on in this half an hour special discussion / interview. But I did want to ask in relation to the day that we have today. So it's the last day of the 16 days of activism, which is culminating today with the International Human Rights Day, a very important day. Brought about by the UN in the 1940s, I think.
Yeah.
A bit incorrect, so I have to look up the information there. But in relation to the 16 days of activism and Human Rights Day and the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, what does that mean for you as a Black woman?
Yeah, so gender violence, as you know, affects all communities. And it's such a huge topic, right? And when you think about it, you're like, oh my God, what can I do? What can little old Ayan or little MV do, right? So, but there's small things that you can do within your own community, right? So whether it's extending support to other Black women. So I don't know if you noticed, but there's always some sort of GoFundMe, right? Someone is at risk of homelessness or someone needs a new computer or someone lost their job and they need to sort of they need like financial support, right? So you give money. So it's looking within your circle and going, who needs help and how can I do that, right? Also rallying around Black women as well. So when Tainin Onis was going through all that drama, because there were a lot of fragile white people who thought her comments were out of pocket, which as you and I both know is bullshit. So there was a hashtag going around saying, I support Tainin Onis, right? At that time, I had no idea who she was. She was a Black woman. She was under attack. I jumped on and I said, wait, what's going on? You know, I came out swinging. So doing that, not necessarily believing in Black women, giving them unconditional support, also having because I was thinking about this question, having conversations with family members. So having conversations with my cousins, my younger cousins especially, you know, telling them about their body, telling them that no one has the right to touch them, no one has the right to pressure them. Also, I can't remember who said this, but it was such a good point about telling kids, about not forcing kids to hug other people. And I remember that used to happen to me a lot as a kid. I used to have aunties say, go hug this uncle or go hug this family member. And you're like, oh, well, I don't want to. And everyone knows there's always that leery male family friend. And you don't know why. Sometimes they don't do anything to you. It's just that uncomfortable feeling. And then here you are being told to hug this person in plain sight of everybody. So, yeah, so telling my little cousins, this is your body. No one has the right to enter your boundaries. And, yeah, just being there for them. So that's what it means for me.
That's really interesting. I'm looking at, I can almost, you know, be there in solidarity with you being from a, you know, a cold background myself. And it's really interesting because Article 3 of the Human Rights Declaration says that everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of person. And I feel like you've touched on that with that, you know, to have the freedom of your gender identity for personal autonomy as well. So that really ties into what you've said there to keep your sense of self and to keep your sense of self, I would assume, as a black woman as well, and not having someone dictate how you should, you know, navigate through the world. It's quite a pivotal and important role there.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, MV. But yeah, gender identity, that's a question. I always think, like I've thought in the past, it doesn't affect me. But now, just hearing you talk and reflecting back on it, just not having, being okay, like you have the right to express yourself however you want to express yourself, right? And there's no static definition of gender, as you know. And it comes from us. We dictate how we want to express ourselves. And even within the hetero community, there's a way to perform gender. So it's not just like the queer community. Even the cisgender community, they're forced to like think of gender as I said, binary. And sometimes I forget as well, just the language that I use. And thinking about gender from a non-heterosexual position. Is that a word? But yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So that's something that I need to work on and recognize and keep at the forefront of my mind, yeah.
There is a hashtag that has made its way through the Twitterverse and beyond entitled Solidarity is for White Women, which primarily relates to the Me Too social media movement, which I know that Tuesday Breakfast has touched on quite a bit in their commentary. What are your thoughts on this hashtag?
So this hashtag was started by Mickey Kendall, a Black American woman. So she started that because she was tired of seeing white women promote and prioritize the interests of other white women, right? And also ignore the oppression of Black women. So she was just tired of not being included, right? So she created this hashtag, and what ended up happening is women around the world jumped on and were like, I've experienced this too. This has happened to me as well. And you start to realize that this is not like based, it's not context based. It's across the world. It's anybody that is oppressed under the banner of white supremacy, right? And I've heard, even within my own community, people say, oh, feminism is for white women. And it's not something that they really believe, but when you've been conditioned to think or associate feminism with whiteness, you can't help but think that, right? So that started, and I wasn't a part of it. I heard about it afterwards, but I do see that affecting my life as well. But thankfully, I have Black woman who I can turn to and be like, oh, it's feminism, it's not a white thing, it's across the board. it's a good thing, and I think it's important that we interrogate it and we don't buy into the whole colorblind racism thing, and to not tell black women you've got to pick either your gender or your race. You know, the both are connected and they both inform each other. Yeah.
If you just tuned in, we're having a conversation. Yeah, it's MV and Ayan, and we're having a conversation in relation to the rights of women of colour here on 3CR's special broadcast of International Human Rights Day. Ayan, I think we'll take a break, but I do want to play one of the tracks you chose.
Yes.
And this one is by... please help me out here, because I want to make sure I don't get the name and the song right.
Yeah.
I
think I'm going to play... Cherry?
Yeah, no, I was going to play Cold Specs. So Cold Specs.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the artist. And the song that you chose was Blank Maps. And why have you chosen this track? Just a quick one-line thing.
She's Somali. Her music is called Soul Doom. Say no more.
Wow. Okay, well, here we go. Welcome back. Welcome back. Now, you're listening to 3CR Community Radio with MV and Ayan. And Ayan's here in the studio, and we're speaking about International Human Rights Day in the context of being a black woman living in so-called Australia. Ayan, just to continue our conversation in relation to International Human Rights Day, recently you shared a part of your story in a video via the Her Word series. Can you sum up what the video story is about and why you decided to participate in this video series?
Yeah, so the video series, I forgot the exact name. So it was this series featured four Muslim women, and they all identify with their religion differently. So it was supposed to get... refugee women. Oh, my God, I do apologize. So... women from refugee backgrounds, and it was supposed to be them telling their own story, because as we know, being a refugee is not a monolithic thing. And yeah, so I joined because I wanted to show that not that you don't have to be the model minority to be accepted, and that I've noticed there's a pattern of refugee stories being celebrated when the person achieves great success. So surviving a war-torn country, you know, that's not enough. Like, you've got to be super accomplished, you know. And as you know, I'm sure you've seen the commercials or the stories on 60 Minutes, you know. Someone from a war-torn country becomes a barrister. Someone from a war-torn country is now in the Olympics. So just sort of showing that, look, you can live a 9-to-5 life as long as your mental health is okay, as long as you have community, as long as, you know, the core things that you need to survive, to live a good life. If you have that, that is a success story.
And how did you find working with this video series, like sharing your story? Like, I've seen
babes.
The video.
Oh, my, like, I bawled my eyes out like a baby. I haven't told anyone. Afterwards.
Wow. Well,
so,
of course.
Like, it was so hard.
You shared so much of your story then. It was really beautiful. You're an amazing storyteller. So I suppose I just want to thank
you.
Get out of
the studio now.
But it was really, really quite beautiful.
Oh, thanks, hon.
I do want to move on and ask you about the work that you do with Tuesday Breakfast and Accent of Women. You know, why did you become involved? What have been the highlights? But in particular, I mean, I'm sure you're going to say this, but why is it so important to give a platform for, you know, people of marginalized backgrounds, but especially, you know, women of culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds?
Yeah. So initially I joined because, to be honest, I wasn't doing much at the time and I needed to fill up my time. So that's why I joined. But the reason I stayed was twofold. One was because I found community, like-minded people. And also because I knew that this was an important platform and I wanted to be able to use that platform to tell stories that you don't hear in mainstream media, right? So on Tuesday Breakfast and Accent of Women, we cover all types of stories, right? Everything. So we cover stories on artists, on STEM, on non-profit organizations, on gender violence. So we do everything. But when it comes to interviews, I always make sure that the guests are Black, right? And that's just my way of giving a seat to someone from my community. But I found Accent of Woman, which is a lot harder because the guests have to be women of color. And it's so hard because that's when you start to realize there's not many of us out there. Like, the amount of times I've had to email organizations and be like, so I stopped using women of color because that term isn't well known in Australia. So I started using called culturally and linguistically diverse people. And then even within then, they'd be like, oh, no, we don't have someone that fits that brief. Or they'd say, we have one person, but they're on holidays. Or we have one person, but they don't feel comfortable. And they're like, oh, but we've got someone else. And you're like, that's not the point. And that's when you start to realize, shit, there really aren't that many of us out there. So you've got to utilize your networks. You've got to go on social media to source interviews. The highlight has been, I'm very aware of the time. And as someone who does radio, it's very important. So, yeah, so I guess the reason I continue to do what I do is to show people that, yes, we are out there and we're doing our thing.
Ayaan, I love the work you do on your programs, and I love that you do give a platform to women of color and culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds. So my hat's off to you. I suppose as a concluding comment in the last few moments that we have, it's always important to remember that at the end of the day, it's not up to women to educate us on their subcultures or experiences. And this is where reading and research comes in. So where would you encourage people to get more information in relation to, you know, the rights of women of color and women of culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds?
Yeah, so just read. That's how I find out about information from communities that I'm not part of, right? Also, give people of color jobs. And when you give them jobs, don't do it for bragging rights, right? Don't assume racism is about violence. So try to work on that. Also know that your frame of reference isn't the only one and it isn't objective. And finally, just be okay with messing up. So if you say something offensive, that's fine. Acknowledge it, move on, don't dwell on it.
It's fantastic. And what I would like to do in the last minute is, what would be your motto or tagline the last 30 seconds that we have for women of color there in relation to International Human Rights Day, if you can come up with something in your head?
Oh, God. Keep on keeping.
That works for me.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, definitely keep on being yourself and keep on keeping.
Yeah.
Ayaan, thank you for coming in. I feel like we need 3 hours to have this conversation and to expand on what we've spoken about. But for our listeners out there, please tune in to Ayaan's program, so 3CR Tuesday Breakfast and Accent of Women, which is usually on
8:30 Tuesdays.
Thank you so much. And International Human Rights Day is a really important day, so make sure you incorporate that in your life and give a platform to people who are from disenfranchised and marginalized groups. You have been listening to MV and Ayaan on 3CR. Have a wonderful day.
Bye.